Hello, and welcome to the Language of God. My name is Stephan De La Cruz, and I am the Friend of God. On today's podcast, I continue with this series called The Age of the Hunters. In the Age of the Hunters series, I share my thoughts about the 2020 corona pandemic, the end of time, also known as the last days, and the age of the hunters found in Jeremiah 16:16. I will bring these three great events together and show how God is preparing His people for this new age. Now, understanding the prophetic scriptures of Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. So as I share with you, the scripture is written in a prophetic style. There is judgment and punishment at the beginning of this chapter. And then in the middle of the chapter, there is restoration and a way shown how God brings that restoration. Then God returns to clarify the punishment on the people in verses 17 and 18. Then in verse 19, Jeremiah acknowledges and praises God for His greatness. Then God speaks again in the very last two verses, proclaiming His greatness and how He will teach His people. God is speaking to His people in the last days of the kingdom of Judah in Jeremiah chapter 16, the entire chapter. Now in verses 1 through 13, God rebukes His people and punishment is pronounced on them. They would be scattered among the nations as part of their punishment. In verses 17 and 18, God continues His pronouncement of punishment on His people for worshiping other gods. So to understand the rebuke and punishment, you must read verses 1 through 13, then 17 through 18, for these are the punishments. And keep in mind that this is a prophetic chapter. It is written in that style. Now, verse 19, Jeremiah acknowledges that God is their strength and stronghold. Jeremiah praises God in this verse. Now, in verses 20 and 21, the last two verses of this chapter, God speaks again and affirms He is their God. Now, where does the hunters come from? In verses 13, God scatters His people. Verses 14 and 15, God gives the sign of how they will know it is God bringing them back to restoration. And this is the sign. But the time is coming, declares the Lord, when no one will say, as the Lord lives who brought up the Israelites from the land of Egypt. No one will say that statement anymore. As the Lord lives who brought up the Israelites from the land of Egypt. Instead, they will say, as the Lord lives who brought up the Israelites from the land of the north and from all the lands where He has scattered them. Isn't that interesting? For those of you who study scripture and see what's going on in the world, we know that Israel was made a nation back in the 40s. And then all these people began to come back from all these different lands that they were scattered to. And this recently happened. It was not too long ago for most of those of you who are listening today. So this is where God says, from that point on, people will say, as the Lord lives who brought up the Israelites from the land of the north and from all the lands where He banished them. Now, verse 16 says this, God tells how He will bring them back from all these lands. I'm going to send fishermen to catch them, declares the Lord. Afterward, I will send hunters to hunt them down on every mountain, hill, and cave. It is here where we are called in these last days to be the hunters, sent forth to reach the lost and bring them back. Now, I know many will say, oh, but that scripture's not for us. But yes, it is, because this is a prophetic scripture here. And God is calling His people to go out and rescue those that are lost. So how can we say that this scripture is for us? In the book of Romans, chapter 11, says it this way. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, and that's you and I, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So we receive all the blessings and promises of Abraham. Paul also says this in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28, that we are all one people in God. So there is no longer Jew or Gentile, but one. We are all one, and the promises and the blessings of God are ours. So if the promises and the blessings are ours, then when God says, I will send forth my hunters to rescue my people and bring them back, who are these my people? Are they just the Jews? Or are they also the Gentiles and the Jews who scripture now says that they are all one? So this is where the calling goes out to all of us to be hunters in the last days. Jeremiah 16, verse 13 through 16. Let us begin. The Age of the Hunters, Part 4, Hunters and Wolves. I have been sharing from Jeremiah 16, verse 16, and it reads like this. God is speaking here. But for now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will fish for them, and they will catch them. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and from the crevices of the rocks. God is calling us to rescue the lost and the broken here at the end of time. In the beginning, God sent out fishermen to go out, but now He is sending forth His hunters into this world. Why hunters? Because hunters have a different spirit. They will go into the darkness, into the mountains, into the places where others fear to walk into. The hunter will use all their skills to move in and out of the territories and not be noticed as they rescue the lost and the rejected. The hunters are skilled at living off the land and staying true to the course they have set. The hunter does not fear the darkness, but the darkness fears the hunter. Will you answer God's calling to the age of the hunters? Today I want to talk about the dreams and visions people are having and what those dreams and visions are causing the body of Christ to experience, what they are causing you to experience. It is causing you to hold back from using your spiritual gifts, from using your natural abilities. These dreams and visions that you are hearing all over the internet are holding you back from working again, interviewing for a new job, from hugging your loved ones, from living your life. So what is holding many of us back? Well, right now, it's fear, and it's the unknown. Right now, you can go to YouTube, Facebook, your favorite social media, and listen to men and women of God sharing their dreams and visions about the pandemic going on in the year 2020. You can listen to them about the election that's going on, about all the violence that is going on in the world right now. And most of what you hear will scare you and put fear and distress into your spirit. As they tell it, their dreams are of a time of great persecution coming for the church. There will be a lack of food throughout the world, violence against the people of God. It just goes on. And when you listen to them, it's scary. It just puts fear. It just overwhelms you. They have put fear into the community of God, these leaders, these people. A defeated spirit and a bad report are what they give you. And all they can say to you, or at least the angels in their dreams, all they can say to you to encourage you is to endure, to hold on. That's not my God. It's not about holding on, and it's not about enduring. In fact, you know what? That reminds me, you know, this this spirit, this defeated spirit in this bad report, reminds me of 12 men that Moses sent out into the new land, the promised land. And you can find it in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 26 and 33. Now Moses had sent 12 men into the promised land to survey the land and come back with a report. And here is the report they came back with. Now these 12 men came back to Moses and Aaron. They reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. The people hearing were in distress. You see, the descendants of Anak were giants. The people that were hearing this report were in distress. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread fear among the Israelites, a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of giants. We seem like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we look the same to them." Wow. I tell you, talk about a bad report. And then they continued. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. "Why is the Lord bringing us to this land? Is it only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder." As you can see, the report of the 10 men discouraged, alarmed, and distressed the community of God. The 10 men had been honest of what they saw, but they had a defeated spirit. The other two men, Caleb and Joshua, specifically talking about Caleb stood out with a spirit of courage and said, "Let us take the land, for we can certainly do it." So the bad report that came back to the people from the promised land, from the land of milk and honey, was not very encouraging. In fact, the people of God cried out to God and said, "Hey, what are you doing? You brought us out here to kill us by the enemy?" Think about it today in the year 2020 and how it is affecting us and how it will affect us in the years to come. Speaking of the church, what is going on with the men of God, with the women of God? What kind of spirit do you have in your life right now? Is it defeated? Are you afraid to stand up? Are you afraid to be counted among the sons and daughters of God? Do you have a spirit that says we can take this land, that we can overcome? Or are you counted among those people who want to run?
I want to pause here and take you back to the year 2020 during the pandemic of the coronavirus.
The word corona translates into the word crown. And right now, a lot of you have forgotten that a long time ago, Jesus wore a crown of thorns for you. That's right. They put a crown of thorns on him that should have been on you. It was ours to bear. It was ours to wear. And that crown of thorns, imagine, take a moment and think about this. The crown covers the head. Its purpose is to show everyone your authority and your power. It is to give a sense of nobility. But a crown of thorns was worn on the head of Jesus Christ for you and I. And that crown of thorns was to show disrespect and to mock the person wearing it. There was no honor found in wearing that crown of thorns. Jesus exchanged our crown of thorns for a crown of life. a crown of dignity. That crown, on a spiritual level, protected our mind and our thoughts and gave us dignity and nobility. It gave us confidence to go and take what God has given to us, this life, and live it to its fullest. But that crown of thorns was the opposite. It took away our dignity, and it mocked our existence, and it took away our confidence to live this life to the fullest. But Christ took that crown and wore it for you and I all the way to the cross.
As we leave behind a dark time called the Corona pandemic, remember this.
The translation for the word corona means crown. Today, there's another crown that the world wants us to wear. That when you listen to the people on YouTube and Facebook and all the other media that's out there, they want you to take on a different crown, a crown called Corona. So they want you to wear this crown of fear and dread and of the unknown. But I want to encourage you today, open your eyes, open your spirit, shake off the fear and put on the full armor of God. And that crown is not yours to wear. That crown, that coronavirus is not yours to wear. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Christ, because he will wear that crown for you. What you need to wear is the crown of life that God has given you. And you need to put on that full armor. And you need to put on the helmet of salvation is what you need to put on your head. So don't wear the crown.
That crown of fear. In your life, you may be given other opportunities to wear crowns. The crown of disappointment. The crown of anxiety. Don't give in to the temptation to take those crowns and wear them.
Give that to Jesus. Give that to God. And let God deal with that crown. Talking about all this fear that's going on in the world, especially in the church, I tell you, just like you, I hear pastors and leaders of the church and other people, just other people outside of the church, sharing their dreams and visions. And just like these men that have given this bad report, at first, as you listen to them, it sounds exciting, it sounds great. But when you hear them say words such as, it's going to be really bad, that you're going to have to hang on, that you're going to have to endure to the end, I want to just say to you this. Joshua and Caleb did not say, hey, let's hang on. They did not say, let's endure to the end. They said, let's take them because we can. And they had seen the giants. I want you to think about that for a moment. These two men saw the giants, and here they're saying to their people, we can take them.
We can take them. Praise God. This is where you just throw up your hands and say, thank you, Lord.
And I want to encourage you, if those of you who are listening to these pastors and to these leaders and to their dreams and visions, and they're just sharing so much, giving such a negative report of what we're living in and what's coming, I want to encourage you to have a positive spirit. Now, I heard this pastor not too long ago on YouTube share a dream he had about wolves and how they are being sent into the church to attack the people of God. The dream was very intimidating and frightful. In his dream, the wolves had red eyes and crept around the community unseen. These wolves would enter churches and sneak behind the pews and wait for people. If you listened to him, you would walk away alarmed, distressed, and discouraged. You would be convinced that you are defeated before the battle even began because the enemy is already ready to attack you, to pounce on you, and you don't even know where it's coming from. But I just want to remind you that this persecution that we're feeling, this stuff that's going on, it's not the enemy, it's God. So remember that. There's a choice. You can either listen to the negative report or you can listen to the positive report. Now, if you're listening to people like this, it makes sense why you have such great anxiety and fear. I want to share with you courage, power, and an authoritative spirit, and lastly, a sound mind. I remind you of who you are and whose you are. You are a child of God. Now, if you need positive words, once again, I want to encourage you to go to my website, thelanguageofgod.net. And when you get there, click on Where the Mountains Go. That podcast will build your faith.
And you can also click on my premium access, where I bring out the hidden mysteries of the scriptures and show you how to apply them to your destiny.
And you can also listen from your favorite podcast providers. Just look for The Language of God. Now, for those of you who have heard this pastor and about his wolves, I want to share my story with you about wolves, because I have a story also about wolves. But there's a negative report and then there's a positive report. And so I hope that my story about wolves will be a positive one for you. As I am sharing with you the age of the hunters, we are being called to be hunters. And the hunter has a different spirit, a different way of doing things. So I share this story with you. This story begins with two hunters. They worked in the high mountains far into the north country. The ranchers and the farmers would hire them to thin out the predators. Less predators meant their livestock were safe. Well, work had dried up for the two hunters in the mountains. They had been out of work for 5 months, and they were feeling the pain in their bank accounts. They heard over in the next county that the forest rangers were hiring hunters to thin out the wolf population. So the two hunters headed over to the county and spoke with the forest rangers. The wolf population was so large that they had become a danger to the rest of the animals living in that county. The forest rangers were paying $500 a wolf. The two hunters grabbed their gear and headed out into the deep forest. After 3 days walking into the forest, they found nothing, not even a sign of wolves. Discouraged that they would not find any wolves, they started back to the rangers' headquarters. They walked until the sun was setting and made camp for the night. As they slept out in the open under the stars, their campfire went out. In the early morning hours, around 2 a.m., one of the hunters was awakened by growling. When he opened his eyes, he saw two red eyes looking back at him. As he looked around, they were surrounded by a few dozen wolves. He thought to himself, "This doesn't look good." The hunter reached for his rifle and poked his friend awake. The second hunter opened his eyes and saw the same thing the first hunter was seeing. The second hunter whispered to the first hunter with excitement, "We're going to be rich." What kind of spirit do you have? Is it defeated, incapable, a spirit that looks for a bad report? What kind of spirit do you want? Do you want a victorious spirit, a powerful spirit? Do you want a good report? You have to choose who you will be. Just know, when the darkness pushes you around, you can push back on the darkness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Where does the spirit come from? If you look in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, that kind of spirit comes from God. And by the way, don't fear the wolves. You can hunt them. When the darkness pushes on you, push back. Know that you are a son of God. Know that you are a daughter of God. You are clothed with honor and dignity. and you wear the crown of life. Don't let what you're hearing and seeing in the media and all around the world happening allow to influence the person you are called to be. Here, at the end of time, this last age, God is calling out for the hunters to go forth and rescue the lost, the rejected. What does that mean for us? That means that we are to go into the mountains, into the hills, into the valleys, to go where others will not go. That means where you've been placed, the job that you have, the family that you live in, your husband, your wife, all those different relationships, the difficulty and the difficult places that you exist in, you have been placed there by God to rescue those people around you. I encourage you to hear, to answer the call of the hunters. Jeremiah 16, verse 16, God says, I will send forth the hunters. This is your time to go to work where you're at, to use every spiritual gift that you have to bring back the lost. You have been called by God. You have been given authority by God. Don't look around for someone to pat you on the back or to give you an okay. God has prepared you for where you're at. And how you know this is because no one else can do what you do. No one else can reach the people that you reach. If you're ready to answer the call of the hunters, then repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you right now, and I thank you for all that you've done in my life. As I've heard this message, I accept your calling in my life, and I answer the call of your Holy Spirit to come and to reach the lost, the broken, and the rejected. And Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse and wash me of my sins, and to make me new again, to restore to me my boundaries, to give me health that flows like a river of life, to give me the crown of life that I may wear with honor and dignity. And I thank you because I know that you have heard my prayer. Give me wisdom to seek out the people that you desire for me to reach. Help me at my job, in my family, and all those that I have relationships with. Help me to be a light to them and to be a word of wisdom for them. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you because you hear my prayer. Amen. Thank you for joining me. If you've enjoyed this message, The Age of the Hunters, please share it with one person this week. And encourage others to listen to The Age of the Hunters. If you have any comments, you can connect with me on Facebook or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. And remember to subscribe to my premium access, where together we will discover our destiny. If you have any questions and when contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Smile again. Laugh again. Believe again. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up. Dust yourself off and get back into the race. Together, we will finish what God has started in us. Now go and enjoy your life. I encourage you to live. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life that flows from the throne of God. I say, come and drink. Thank you
Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.